Welcome to Mark and Friends, the Thursday edition for January 26th, 2023. I'm your host, Donna Leland, and today we talk with the founder and the director of Love Packages. Maybe that sounds familiar. Maybe you've collected some materials and dropped them off here at this location. We'll be hearing from the heart behind this ministry, Steve Schmidt, founder and director of Love Packages. Thanks for joining us, Steve, on Mark and Friends.
Hi, how are you?
Steve, for those who might not be familiar with Love Packages, can you explain exactly what does the ministry do?
In the spring of 1975, I had a little stack of Decision magazines from Billy Graham and some old Bibles sitting in a corner of my dining room. And every time I walked through there that spring, God kind of pointed his finger at me and said, Steve, you're wasting that. Now, I don't know whether you're like I am or not, but I argue with the Lord sometimes. And so I argued with the Lord for about 3 months and told him I was going to prepare lessons and stuff. He said, No, you're not. You're going to leave it sit there. You're going to spill a Coke on them all these days. Listen to me, Steve. I said, okay, God, I'm going to waste it. But what do I do with it? I mean, they're 4 years old. Who wants a four-year-old magazine? Who can I give an old Bible to? And so, long story short, I knew five men that had just graduated from a Bible college and were going home to their home countries. So they're going back to Nigeria and Kenya and India. And so I wrote them a letter and I said, can you use English literature? And if so, how much and how soon? And it seemed like the letters were only gone a couple of days, and the letters were back and said, yes, we can use as much as you can get here, as soon as you can get it here. Well, I didn't know everybody had a bunch of stuff. So my wife and I started in August of 1975 in the basement. And we just started collecting a few things from our church and sending it overseas. And that first year, from August to January, we sent 60 little boxes, little 11-pound packages to these guys. Thought we were doing something great for God. But as the next year rolled around, you know, I would go to the Baptist chicken dinner or the Methodist pancake supper and sit with people in the community that I knew. And people would say, what have you been doing, Steve? And I said, I've been collecting old Bibles and Sunday school material and sending it overseas. People don't have it. And they go, we've got a whole closet full of that stuff. Could we bring ours over to you too? And I go, well, yeah, I guess that'd be okay. My poor wife. We had stuff in the living room. We had stuff in the dining room. We had stuff in the back porch, front porch. We had stuff everywhere. So the second year, we did 3.5 tons out of the basement.
Wow.
And then the next year, we did 7, then 11. I grew the basement, went to the double car garage, and it's grown to, well, this year, our goal is to ship 111 containers overseas, which would be 2,020 tons. That's enough literature for about, I give you an idea, that's enough literature for about 80 million people to read first time. The people that do the statistics tell us that every piece of literature we put on a third world country is going to be read by a minimum of 20 people. Yeah, it's very, very valuable. We live in the most blessed nation on the face of the earth in the history of the world, and we just don't have an idea. I mean, there's pastors all over the world today, that don't have a Bible. It's hard for us in America to wrap our hands around that or our minds around that.
Now, to process that much literature, you must have a huge warehouse.
I have 13,000 square foot under roof here in Illinois, and then I have a second warehouse in Alabama that's about 11,000 under roof.
When I called you, Steve, to set up this interview, you were kind of in the middle of doing a catch-up from COVID. How did COVID impact Love Packages?
Well, as far as volunteers, of course, that hit us hard. But actually, the literature that came from churches went down because churches weren't having church. And so they didn't buy Sunday school curriculum or whatever. But the things that we got from publishing houses went through the roof because they didn't sell anything. We pick up from 9 major publishing houses all the leftover curriculum at the end of every quarter. And so all the things that they don't sell, they give to us for us to ship overseas. Our warehouse was so full of that stuff. It's just unbelievable. It's all gone now, but that's how COVID affected us anyway.
Can you give us a list of what you accept and materials that you don't accept?
It's easier to say the things that I do take than what I don't take. Of course, we're not going to take like National Geographic or cult material, Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses or, stuff like that. We don't take that. But here's what we do take. We take any and all Bibles, Bible portions, New Testaments. We can never get enough Bibles. Like I said earlier, there's pastors all over the world that still don't have a Bible. Take, for instance, the continent of Africa. That's a big, big place, you know. But there's 100 million people who profess to be Christians today that don't have a Bible, that want one. 100 million. So that's a big job. So we can never get enough Bibles. Every one of my literature distributors everywhere in the world beg me for Bibles. Every time I send them a load, please send me as many Bibles as you can. So Bibles. We take all your reference books like concordances, commentaries, Bible dictionaries, regular dictionaries. Most Bible colleges around the world have little or no books. I was in Lusaka Baptist Bible College several years ago, and I preached there for several hours, and then they took me around and showed me the campus. 120 students studying for the ministry, and they took me into the library, and they had one shelf of books about four foot long. That's the books that they had for their library to study. So we'll take all your daily devotionals, like things from Charles Stanley or David Jeremiah, Our Daily Bread, Upper Room, all those kind of daily devotionals. We'll take Christian books and paperbacks. Books like from Billy Graham, Charles Stanley, Max Cato. I take some Christian fiction like Pilgrim's Progress or Narnia or things like that, but I don't take like romance, fiction romance books. We take CDs and DVDs, music or preaching of people that we know anyway, and Sunday school quarterlies. So that's kind of the categories.
And all of those categories are listed on your website, Love Packages. So let's say I've gone through my house, I've got a box, I filled it with the CDs, the Bibles, the books. Now, where does that box go?
Well, there are several things they can do with it, depending on where they're at in the country. Now, we're talking your local here in Illinois, and you can always mail it to us from anywhere in the country. And you can send it through the United States mail and send it media mail. That's the cheapest rate. Don't send it priority or first class. That's expensive, but you can send it media mail. And our address is Love Packages, 220 Union Street, Butler, Illinois, 62015. And we also have an Alabama office that you can get the address from our website. It's lovepackages.org. If you live in Illinois, you live somewhere close, we're warehouses in Butler, Illinois, which is down by Litchfield, halfway between Springfield and St. Louis. And you can bring it to us anytime. We're open Monday through Friday from 8 till 4:15. We also have after-hours drop box or a drop building here that you can put things in 24 hours. We have some drop-off locations. You're a drop-off location. We have several other drop-off locations located in Illinois and Missouri and Indiana. And so people can call us and get, you know, their address or phone number, and then they can drop those things off and these collection points and deliver it to us.
So let's follow my box. So I've packed it up. I've taken it to a collection site. What happens to the box after that?
I get about 10 tons of mail a week here in Illinois, and they get about 7 tons of mail a week in Alabama. And then we also got what people carry in or collect like you. And then we sort every piece, make sure it's good. We take out all the Good Housekeeping magazines and love letters and electric bills and any of the cult material. And we sort it in 6 different categories as we sort. And then when volunteers come, and that's another thing, you know, if people in this area, you want to come and volunteer and put your hands to the work, you know, you can do that. But anyway, volunteers come in and they pack up boxes and get them ready. And then we ship it overseas. We shipped the load this morning, 20 tons going to Kenya. And we're shipping 20 tons out tomorrow to go to Malawi. We ship it in ocean-going containers. And then it goes all the way across there until it gets to our distribution point. We set distribution points up all over the world. We work with people that's already on the ground. In one place, it might be Every Home for Christ. Another place, it might be the Evangelical Fellowship or a Baptist mission or a denominational headquarters. Or we work with Samaritan's Purse, a lot of different places around the world, Operation Christmas Child. But we send 20 tons into them and then they distribute it out to their country. Part of the deal is we pay the shipping. We raise funds and pay the shipping all the way to Malawi or, you know, wherever we're going, India. And then their part or their skin in the game is that they have to pay for the clearing costs and any transportation from the port to their facility or whatever. So they have that cost on that side.
What would be a rough estimate as to how much it would cost your side to get that container over there?
We ship 20-foot containers, 20-ton containers. On average, it's about $5,000 per load. Some loads are going to be a little less than that. You know, we just shipped one to Panama. It was about $3,500, but we shipped one to Zimbabwe. And so you got to go all the way across another country to get there, you know. And so it was about $9,000. So, but $5,000 on average. You know, it's a faith ministry since we started. We just believe that God's told us to do it. We never ask for anything. We never ask for any money. If you hang around with us, you'll get to know that. But it's been a faith ministry. We just believe that God's told us to do it. He's going to pay the bills, and he always has. There's only one time that I was ever scared. I only had one building here, and it was about 5,000 square foot. And David C. Cook called me. I bought that building in 95 and 96. David C. Cook called me and said, we just bought Scripture Press and Accent and Echoes and a homeschool publisher and one other. They bought five publishing houses. They said, now we're going to sell their curriculum, but they have all kinds of books and they have CDs and they have all kinds of other things. And we don't want it, but we like what you're doing, and we'll give it to you if you want it. And so they sent me five tractor trailer loads in 2 weeks. And I had stuff stacked all the way to the ceiling in this building, you know, with little rat trails walking through. And I got panicky one day and I said, Steve, are you crazy? What are you going to do? How are you going to pay for this, you know? And the Lord just stopped me, just very gently. And he said, where's all the literature you had in times past? I said, well, it's all gone. And he said, who paid for that? Okay, God, I got it, you know? And so it's just, we just trust him, you know, and he's really good at taking care of us. There's one year that we had no money all year, you know, and so every time we got ready to ship a load, I would tell the gal that was working for me, she worked like a secretary, and I said, Debbie, book this load, go in the library. What's going to cost $5,000 or whatever? And she said, wait. She'd always call me Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve, we only got $67 in the bank, you know, whatever. I said, that's okay. God's going to take care of it, you know. And so we would ship it. And it was so fun that year. It was so fun because every single time, all year long, people would come in and say, I want to pay for a container, you know. Oh, there it goes right there, you know, just pulling out the driveway, you know. And I mean, it just was so fun. It just all year long, it was like that. And then the next year, we got a tremendous amount of money all at once. I mean, several hundred thousand dollars. You go, well, what's going on here, you know?
Yeah.
But the scripture says, Paul says, he says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God took us through that season to teach us how to have nothing and how to have a lot. And what we found out, hindsight, you know, you look back and you say, you know, what do you know, you got all this money all of a sudden. All of a sudden, the ministry started taking off and expanding and growing, and our finances wouldn't have been able to keep up. So we used that money for like 3 years until we could catch up, if that makes sense to you.
Have you ever been on that receiving end whenever the whole shipment gets to the other side? And what's that like?
I had the opportunity to be in about 37 different nations of the world, but I've never, ever been there to receive a container. Never. I used to do pastor's conferences all kinds of places, you know, around the world. And so I got a really good idea of the need that there was. Can I tell you a couple about the need?
Oh, please.
Last time I was in India, I was supposed to meet one of my literature distributors in the northeast part of India. He lives in a place called Nagaland. And it was really hard for us to get literature there. And so I said, meet me. And I couldn't go where he's at because it's closed for outsiders to come. And I said, meet me in Shillong, Meghalaya, at such and such a time at this Bible college, and we'll talk about how we can get literature to you better. So I got there, and he didn't show up. So when you're in India and somebody doesn't show up, you just wait another day because, I mean, anything can happen. Maybe the elephant run the bus off the road or something. I mean, it's just nuts. I waited the next day. When he got there, he says, I'm so sorry. I meant to come. I was on my way. I was walking out the door, and there were 10 men that came to my house, and they said, we heard that we can get Christian literature from you. We don't have any Christian literature. We don't have any Bibles. We don't have any books in our country. Can you help us? Well, he said, well, I only got these two boxes here from Love Packages right now, but you're welcome to have them. You know, you can take them with you. He said, they just sit down in my front room and just begin to cry. I said, don't you understand? We've come so far. We've walked 15 days. He said, that's the reason why I didn't come and see you right away. I told him to sit there. I said, you sit down. And I got a couple of runners, and I sent them out. I said, tell them, Pastor, you know, I want you to run to everybody's house and tell them, Pastor said, bring your Bibles tonight when you come to church. And so they went from house to house. Pastor said, bring your Bible. So that night, I stood in front of my congregation, and I told them, I said, listen, these men have come across the border from Myanmar, from Burma, and they've come crying and pleading to me for Bibles. This is what I want you to do. I want you to give me your Bible tonight. I promise you, when I get Bibles from Love Packages, I'll give you a better Bible than you got now. That whole congregation gave their Bibles away to these men. Now, that story speaks volumes to me. I mean, because, first of all, these guys walked 15 days not knowing whether they were going to get anything. And whatever they did get, they were going to have to carry back with them 15 days.
Yeah.
And it also spoke to me about the willingness of the church overseas to do something. I mean, they gave all their Bibles away, not knowing if it was going to take 6 months or 9 months or a year before they got another one. I just don't think we should do less.
It is amazing to think that our little resources, something we're finished with, we were blessed with, can now go across the ocean and bless someone else, sometimes in a miraculous way, right?
Well, you know, God is able to get things to exactly the right person at exactly the right time. And if you see it happen once or twice, you could say, well, that's a coincidence. But we see it happen literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. And so you begin to look at this and you just know that God is orchestrating all these things. And I get testimonies. I got some today, you know, but almost every day or at least once a week, you know, I get a testimony from somewhere around the world of somebody's life that's been changed or transformed, or their marriage was saved or averted suicide, or et cetera, et cetera. And so that keeps you going. But several years ago, there was a period of time that we hadn't got any testimonies for about 6 weeks, which is unusual. And it also coincided with summertime. And in the summertime, we have lots and lots of volunteers, youth groups, one right after another. And we were working too many hours, 40, 50, 60 hours a week. And all my guys were out. We were tired. And so I called them in the office and said, are you guys as tired as I am? And I said, man, we are beat. I said, so let's do this. I said, let's pray. And we'll just ask the Lord to send us some testimonies. And you get a testimony and somebody's life that's been transformed. It'll give you a shot in the arm, help you keep going. And so we prayed 3 days. And then the fourth day, I got an email from Pastor Paul. He lives in Visakhapatnam on the east coast of India. And he sent me an email with 30 testimonies on it. Oh. And so I called the guys in the office and said, come here and sit down and I'll read these testimonies to you. And the first one was from a young woman. She said, I'm a young woman. She was 17 years old. She said, my parents were killed by an accident and they didn't have any immediate family to take care of me. She said, I had a distant family that took me for a season. But she said, you know, India's a very difficult place. I don't know whether you know that, but I do because I've been there, you know. And she said, it wasn't very long that they came to me and said, listen, we can't afford to keep you. You get out of the house. You don't come back. We can't afford to feed you. You leave. And so she said, I had no place to go, and I had no skills, and I had no education, and I had no home, and I had no money. And she said, I was too physically fit to be a beggar. And I didn't want to become a prostitute. And she said, I was a devout Hindu. I prayed to all my Hindu gods. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I didn't even have enough to take food. So she's starving to death by herself on the streets of India, you know, pretty desperate. So she wrote a letter to me. She said, at that moment in time, I said to myself, why am I living such a miserable life? I know what I'll do. I'll go over to the train station and I'll throw myself in front of a train. I'll end this miserable life of mine. So she's walking in front of the train station and she ran into one of Pastor Paul's guys and he gave her a little booklet from Love Packages. So she wrote a letter to me. She said, Pastor Steve, I said to myself at that time, surely I could read this book before I die. And so she sat down there on the edge of the tracks and she read that little book and she gave her life to Christ. Well, and we're sitting in the office saying, okay, God, I can do it another week. I don't care how sneaking tired I am. You know, I can do it. You know, and at exactly that moment, this is how good God is. Exactly at that moment, the phone rang. And I picked it up, and it was Pastor Paul from India. Good morning, Pastor Steve. This is Pastor Paul from India at your most humble and blessed feet, sir. Did you get the email I sent you about the testimonies. And I said, yeah, I'm reading it right now. I'm reading about the young woman who was going to throw herself in front of a train. Oh, he said, she's such a fine Christian now. She's going everywhere. Everywhere she's going, she's taking her literature. She's led hundreds of young ladies to faith in Christ. The Lord is good. So one of our literature distributors, he lives in Nigeria. So he takes our literature. But one of the other things he likes to do is he likes to go in the hospitals. And so he takes our literature into the hospitals, and their hospitals are different than ours. They don't have private and semi-private room. It's like a big dormitory, you know, so they can equally share each other's diseases, you know. But anyway, so he was going from bed to bed and just bringing some literature, and he would say, hello, my name is Pastor Victor, and I want to give you this piece of literature, and if you'd like me to pray for you, I will, you know. And so he was doing that. Well, he got down to the end, and there was a lady, and she was a Muslim. Well, he's a man. He's not supposed to talk to a Muslim woman. That's a no-no. I mean, that's a real no-no. But he did talk to her a little bit. He just said, listen, I have this book. I'd like to give it to you, and I'll pray for you. That's it. That's all he said. A couple months goes by, and all of a sudden, bang, 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 bang on the front door. And he comes to the door, and there's a Muslim man standing out there, and he doesn't look happy. Mm. This can be dangerous, you know? Yeah. So he opens the door gingerly, and he says, you were in the hospital 2 months ago. You gave a book to my sister. And the guy says, I need some of that stuff.
Wow.
Well, that's a lot better than getting stabbed, wow. You know? And so he says, okay, I'll give you this. And I gave him a little box. He said, I need more than that. You give me more than that. And so he gave him a great big box of stuff, and he left. So a couple months goes by. He's in the warehouse again. He's got a little place there where he works on the literature and separates it out so he can take it to different churches and things. And so he's working there, and all of a sudden, bang, 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 bang on the door again, you know? 75 Muslims outside. He's thinking, oh, God, they're going to burn my warehouse down. And so he opens the door, and the guy says, do you know who this is? Pointing to a woman next to him. This is my sister. This is the one you gave the book to. She read that book, and God healed her. This is my family here. This is all my family that's standing here. We've read all those books that you've given us. We want to become Christians.
Amazing.
The Word of God, all by itself, with nobody else around. And so just all by itself, it does that work, you know.
And we're so grateful for the work you, your team, and the others who give to Love Packages are doing to get that Word of God into the hearts and minds of those around the world. Thanks, Steve, for coming on, Mark and friends. And I think we've got some more stories we need to hear, so I'm going to have you back.
Thank you so much for the time and the effort.
Thanks for listening to Mark and Friends, a ministry of Great News Media and WLUJ Family of Stations.